This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. 877-217-5757. That's your Talk Louisiana number. Our email address is talk@talklouisiana.org. We are 46 days away from the November 3rd election. And with us to discuss it, from Shreveport, the political scientist at LSU Shreveport, Jeff Satto, and in Baton Rouge, in our studio here at the Louisiana Radio Network, one Mike Wolf, who is the godfather of the Libertarian Party in Louisiana, who has been on the show a few times before and has expressed his dislike for the president's actions. He does not support President Donald John Trump, even though he is a libertarian. Jeff Satto, of course, is a conservative who usually is in accord with conservative office holders, and we'll get their take on where the election is just 6.5 weeks away from the finish line. One of the major players in this race has become the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr. He was not the first choice for President Trump, as we know Jeff Sessions was, the U.S. Senator from Alabama. They had a falling out when Sessions recused himself from the Russia probe, and the president said he was looking for his, quote, Roy Cohn, and he found him in Bill Barr, who's become a protector of the president. And it's in accord with his belief that presidential power should exceed the power of the other two branches of government. The other night, Bill Barr, speaking to a group, a conservative group in Philadelphia, indicated that he thought that the restrictions on the American people to try to protect us from coronavirus were related somehow in some way to restrictions on black citizens back in the day when we had slavery in this country. It's created a conversation piece, as you can imagine, a provocative statement from the top law enforcement officer in this country. And here's a sampling of Bill Barr's remarks.
Putting a national lockdown, stay-at-home orders, is like house arrest. Other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
All right. We might pick up a bit on this later, but you get the idea. And Jeff Satto, obviously Bill Barr has his detractors now and his defenders, and I doubt that many minds were changed, but were his remarks perhaps inappropriate, or were they on target? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think there was anything wrong with him at all. I mean, he qualified it. He said that, you know, except for, this has been the greatest, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think he was equating the two by any means. But, I don't see anything wrong with him at all.
All right. Now, Mike Wolf, as you can imagine, any time you mention slavery, you're going to get a response, and Barr is a smart man. There's one thing about him that I think we can all agree on. He's a smart guy, and I think he fully knew what he was going to cause, and it is an election year. He's trying to help his boss, the president, win re-election, but did he go too far?
I think he did. I don't think it's totally outlandish. It's just rhetoric. He's just making an extreme statement to make a point that he thinks a national lockdown would be terrible, but a national lockdown is not being proposed. And Barr has been overstepping the bounds of prudence and Justice Department traditions for many months now since he was appointed, and is a very, very poor example of an attorney general.
He was the attorney general under George Bush the First. And George Bush the First was the last president seeking re-election to lose. It's been 28 years. Presidents who were elected have great advantages when they're seeking re-election, and it worked for Bill Clinton, who won a landslide over Bob Dole. It worked for George Walker Bush, who beat Bob Kerry by 3 million votes. And it worked for Barack Obama, who beat Mitt Romney by 5 million votes. But John McCain was different than is Joe Biden, as we know, and Donald Trump was different than Barack Obama. And right now, polls show the president behind. And much of the Barr discussion includes his handling of the Justice Department. He's definitely a hands-on guy, some would say interfering with investigations. And he also, in that statement the other night, said, Mike, that FBI agents basically worked for him. And the FBI responded saying, we work for the American people. Your thoughts about that?
This points out a major problem with Barr. The Barr is breaking all the traditions of the Justice Department, at least all of those that were established after Watergate. I have with me here the testimony that a friend of mine gave to the House Judiciary Committee on June 24th of this year, just a couple of months ago, about the problems with Barr. Barr is acting, of course, as a personal attorney for Trump, but beyond that, he is helping establish the view that the president is above the law, that he doesn't, he can do special political favors and have special treatment for his personal friends, and that the law is no longer impartial. We're supposed to have a government of laws, not of men. That was the tradition that was reestablished after Watergate. A number of institutions were put in place, and laws were changed, and regulatory practices were established to avoid a tailoring of judicial procedures to individual cases. They would, but we're away from that now, and we're doing special favors for special people. The law is no longer impartial in the eyes of many observers, and the Justice Department is ruining basically American law in what they're the way they're administering justice.
877-217-5757 is your number. Mike Wolf is a lawyer, has been for a long time, over 40 years, and I'm not, and neither is Jeff. But Jeff Szatto is a seasoned political scientist, and the Attorney General of the United States is thought to be, in most cases, on the same page of their boss, the President of the United States. But as we saw with Janet Reno, who cut Bill Clinton no slack in the Lewinsky investigation, if you've got an Attorney General who's not in your camp, so to speak, it can cause some real problems. I think, Jeff, that this marriage between Trump and Barr has been beautiful for the president because he has a fellow in the Justice Department at the very top who thinks a lot like he does.
Yeah, certainly that's the case. But you know, I think the Reno example is a pretty good one where there really wasn't that much dissension or difference between those two. It's simply the politics of the situation, the public relations at that point, made it impossible for Reno to do anything but try to work her way through that particular crisis of the Clinton presidency. But yeah, in most cases, you're going to find this is true: an attorney general and the president that appoints him are going to be of like mind. But of course, as we know with Trump, with his history not only in office, but you know, the decades prior in the business world, he's not averse to some rather rapid personnel changes when he thinks the need is there.
Well, there have been numerous personnel changes, but it looks like Bill Barr will be there as long as he wants to be, and that would mean he would probably be there for a second term if the president is reelected. 877-217-5757 is your number. Gustavo in Goodwood, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have to say that the gall that your guest had regarding Attorney General Barr, he must have forgotten that Eric Holder was Obama's personal attorney, and not only that, but the cover-up man. Should I mention Fast and Furious to name one of the examples that those two crooks did?
All right, you're saying that President Obama was a crook? All right, I think he said those two crooks, so I guess he was. Gustavo was saying that Obama was a crook, but his administration was relatively scandal-free, Mike. But nonetheless, he did have a supporter, and Eric Holder is his attorney general. Is that in any way equal to Bill Barr being supportive of the current president?
No, I don't think so. You have to look at the individual cases. By being a member of the president's cabinet, obviously the attorney general is going to try to assist the president politically when he can. But still, there are traditions that assert that the president is not above the law. Barr has gone much farther than any of his predecessors in asserting that basically the president is unconstrained in his executive power. He's pushed this theory of the unitary executive, which holds that the president can do anything the executive department can do, including the Department of Justice, without any restraints. But the Congress over the years, especially after Watergate, has created special counsel statutes and has established procedures for creating consensus in the Justice Department about the ethical administration of the criminal laws, involving especially investigation of government figures themselves. Barr seems to think there should be no investigation at all of any government officials if the president doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. And if that were adopted, it would mean the president is above the law.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. Stephanie at LSU has asked a question that we will pose to Mike and Jeff when we return about whether it was prudent to throw out the convictions against Mike Flynn and Roger Stone. We'll talk about it and more. 46 days away from November 3rd, 877-217-5757. We're back in 90 seconds with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. The seasoned political scientist, Jeff Sato in Shreveport at LSU, and Mike Wolf, the godfather of the Libertarian Party in Louisiana. In fact, I think Mike is backing the Libertarian in this race. Before we get to the question from Stephanie at LSU, Jorgensen, Dr. Jorgensen?
Joe Jorgensen, yes.
He's your guy.
She is.
She
Joe
is. Excuse
a woman.
Me. That's right.
Yes,
see, that's how little we are hearing about the yes. third-party candidates this year.
Yeah,
it is
Joe
a lady.
Jorgensen is an instructor.
Has a male running mate, though, right?
That's right. Spike Cohen.
He's Spike. What a great name.
Yes.
Spike. Joe and Spike.
That's right. And in this state, it's where we know the winds are blowing in Trump's favor. Everyone who has any antipathy to that man and believes in an honest, proper government should strongly consider a vote for Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen.
Okay. 877-217-5757. What about the throwing out of the convictions of General Flynn and Roger Stone? Jeff Sato, was that a prudent move by the President of the United States?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are questions about process that are involved there, and, you know, you know, it does seem, from what we know, that a trap of sorts was set for Flynn, and so, you know, certainly I'm not as sure in the case of Stone, but I think Flynn, it's pretty clear that he was misled, that you know, this is what we call quote a process crime. So yeah, and you know, Flynn has already suffered from what's gone on in the last almost 4 years now concerning him. So I think even if you think Flynn is guilty on that, he certainly has paid a price.
And Stone?
Stone, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not as I guess I don't have the level of detail really that I think I need to know in order to be able to say unequivocally that that one is something that should be that's the way that should have been handled.
All right. Now, Mike, Flynn did plead guilty. And
twice.
And Stone was found guilty several times. And this was actions involving the president, and then the president overthrows their convictions. The power of the presidency is enormous in this land of ours, and this president is using it.
Sure, but that case isn't over yet. Now, Jeff says a trap was set for Flynn. He was asked about his discussions with the Russian ambassador and denied having them, denied discussing the subjects that the FBI well knew he had discussed because they had recorded the conversations. That is in litigation right now. The lowest level, the federal district court level, has refused to allow the withdrawal of the pleas. And it's on appeal to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, as I understand right now. So the jury is still out on that.
A listener notes that the former insurance commissioner, Jim Brown, went to jail for something much less than what Flynn was convicted of. 877-217-5757. Before we go back to the phone lines, Jason in Jones Creek asks, This is a question posed to Dr. Sato, but we'll get Mike to respond too. Do you feel the presidential debates are necessary in this election, or are they a formality at this point? Are the debates going to be enlightening, Jeff?
Well, I think probably more than in any election that we've had with this history of debates, which only goes back about 60 or so years. I think this is more necessary than ever because, you know, the debates, you know, we look at the implications for voters and the transmission of information and things like that. You usually don't get a whole lot, but what they're really, really useful for is to gauge the temperament and the fitness of the candidates for office. And with serious questions about Joe Biden, I think more than ever that this this year they're going to be necessary.
Mike?
Well, I agree with Professor Sato on that. Joe Biden acquitted himself very well last night, and I think it's sort of humorous that the professor would suggest that Biden is more in need of demonstrating his fitness than Trump.
All right, and I'm getting chided by a listener who says I should know more about Joanne Marie Jorgensen. Has degrees from Baylor, SMU, and Clemson, a Ph.D. She is Dr. Jorgensen, and she's been around for a while. She is 63 years old, and the nominee of the Libertarian Party was the 1996 running mate of Harry Brown. Jeez, that's 24 years ago. She was only 39 then. Joe Jorgensen, that's Mike Wolf's candidate. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana.
You know, I'm sorry the Attorney General can't investigate the president for a crime of use of power because Trump is messing with the mail in Detroit. That's a Democratic stronghold. A lady was sent to the hospital because she hasn't received her medicine for seizures, and that's all because we have a monster president who's the most vindictive person I've ever known in my life, and this man is a disgrace to the office. What a pity this animal has taken the office of the presidency, putting people's lives in jeopardy to rig the election.
Okay, David, you're throwing out a lot of red meat there, and you call him an animal, but unlike George Bush II, he didn't get us in a war under false pretenses and cost thousands of American lives and hundreds of thousands of other lives.
Well, I'll tell you what he did do. He killed hundreds of thousands of Americans because he didn't take action on the coronavirus.
Well, there are 200,000 Americans who have died. I don't know that his actions caused every one of those deaths. I think we would have had a few even if President Trump had acted more quickly. But you're putting it right at the Peter, the president of the United States. Is that fair, Jeff Sato, to blame the president for the coronavirus deaths in the U.S., the fact that we're over 20% of the world total with 4.5% of the world's population? Is that fair?
No, not at all. And you know, if there's any, the U.S. response to this has been more fragmented than any other country's for the simple reason because of our system of government and the federal system that we have. So Trump or any president in this position, of any chief executive in the world, probably has the least ability to be able to influence what happens because we have so much decision-making power on this particular issue in the hands of governors. So, if there's any chief executive that you want to hold responsible for this, probably the U.S. president would have the least culpability.
Mike, what do you think?
I think those are significant points that the professor makes, and I think he's correct. The president does have more obstacles in the way of imposing a policy on the country because of the state governments.
But he did know on February 7th, as we heard on the tapes with Bob Woodward, that this was a serious, serious matter, and he was telling the American people something other than that.
Well, yes, and if you look at all of his conduct during the pandemic and concerning the pandemic, have been totally consistent with his performance on other issues. He doesn't tell the truth. He's dishonest. He misleads people. He overstates the
right,
you know, rosy developments and understates the negative ones.
Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Charlotte, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm calling because I wanted to point out the inconsistencies that the people who opposed President Obama in his midterm election when they said that he was not protecting us from Ebola, and there were less than 200,000 people who died in that event.
All right. That's a good point. Daniel in South Baton Rouge. Thank you, Charlotte. Daniel, you're on the air. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I totally disagree with the guy there who says the president is not blamed, not responsible. He's not responsible for every single death, but he could have controlled a lot of it. But he.
All right. He also is saying that a vaccine is imminent, like in the next few weeks. Jeff, is he giving us false hope?
Well, I don't know. I see a variety of reports. Some say by November. Some say in the next year. It's totally unpredictable. So, in the sense that he's saying maybe in a few weeks that he may end up being right, but it's really, I think, if you want to call him dishonest in the sense that it's really more of a crapshoot than anything else, well, then you can call him dishonest.
877-217-5757. We'll hear a few more words of wisdom from Jeff Saddo in the North Country of Shreveport and Mike Wolf in studio here in Baton Rouge. And we'll also hear from the accomplished photographer Philip Gould in Lafayette. Your number again, 877-217-5757. Send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We pause briefly for the news on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. We always like your input. There's still a chance to get in under the wire with Mike Wolf and Jeff Saddo. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Jeff Saddo in Shreveport, Mike Wolf in Baton Rouge, 46 days away from the election. And let's go to James in Metairie. James, good morning.
Good morning to you, Jim. One of the most disgusting, deplorable things about Donald Trump is his failure to take any responsibility for something that goes wrong. This woman who was just came out, said she's going to vote for Biden, was a key person on the COVID-19 team. And Trump says this, I guess, yesterday. He says, quote, "I never met her. Maybe she was in the room. I have no idea who she was. She doesn't know me." Well, Mr. Trump, she was a key part of your administration in this fight against COVID. He never takes responsibility for anything. He dismisses critics as this, "Oh, it's not my responsibility." That's the mark of a failed, disgusting leader, Jim.
All right. James and Metairie's fired up in similar vein to David in Atlanta. Jeff Saddo, that is something I think that James is spot on. This president, to my knowledge, has only admitted to one mistake in his administration, and that was hiring Jeff Sessions. Other than that, he basically says he's done everything perfect, and that word has been used many times, perfect. What do you think?
Well, Trump is a master at trolling the media and his critics and opponents, and this is part of his strategy, is to convey this yes, I don't do anything wrong, kind of aura, because he knows it drives them wild. And so they keep having reactions like your caller did, so he keeps doing it.
Is he driving people wild, Mike?
Well, yes. Jeff's right about that again, too. Yes, and that's why a lot of his supporters like him, just because he entertains them, and they love it when he drives the journalists and the liberals.
Well, he is in most people's heads, and in that respect, he has conquered the world, because the people who like him a whole lot, and those who don't like him can't stop thinking about it. One last question from a listener, Tom on Bluebonnet here in Baton Rouge, asking about the Senate race. Jeff, your neighbor Adrian Perkins, the mayor of Shreveport, has 46 days to make up a lot of ground against Bill Cassidy. Is that a daunting challenge?
Yeah, it's a very daunting challenge. Perkins went into this race because there's a number of reasons. Some of it dealing with trying to shore up his mayorship here in Shreveport, but none were really with any expectation that he was going to win. And I don't see any reason to change that view at this point.
Mike Wolf. Is there a Libertarian running in the Senate race?
No, I don't believe there is. So I think we're stuck with
you
the choice.
You should have gotten on the ballot.
Perkins versus Cassidy, and that's a hard one. Each one has advantages and disadvantages. Cassidy, though, is saddled with the ignominy of supporting Donald Trump. And I've heard people say that they won't support anyone that's supporting Trump. in these elections.
And if he were in another state, that could be a problem, as Susan Collins is finding out. Even Lindsey Graham, believe it or not, in South Carolina, I think he'll win, but he's in a tough race. And Mitch McConnell, he's going to win too, it would seem, but it's a much tougher race than he's had before. And we'll be calling on Mike and Jeff again soon. Always a pleasure to hear from these two educated and enlightened men. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. Be sure to vote.
All right, I'm with you there.